Yes, and we have on the line, of course, right now, Josh from Scorpio Books. Josh,
hello.
Do you have an opinion on that? Do you have a overrated book?
I do, but I feel like I shouldn't. I feel like I shouldn't say, because you know.
Were you going to say the Bible? Because someone's already said the Bible. Don't worry.
Yes, the Bible is definitely my first. I mean, it is a little overrated. I mean, it's got some good stuff in there, but it's difficult to read. It's not exactly a page-turner.
No, it drags on a little bit.
It does drag on a bit. I mean, what is that, a couple thousand pages? Is this weird too hard, you know? I don't. It's a lot.
And it's also that super thin paper as well. So it's like...
I know.
A lot more pages.
Exactly. It's pretty intense.
Anyway, a book you don't think is overrated, I hope, is your book of the week today.
Yes. Well, oh, goodness, what a banger I have for you. I think I may have talked about the first one in the series quite a while ago, back with Ben. But I'd like to recap that one and the second one that came out recently. It is... John Gwynne's fantastic, what is going to be a trilogy, is currently two books. The first one called The Shadow of the Gods, the second called The Hunger of the Gods. And it's some of the best modern fantasy that I've read in a very, very long time. It is delightful. It's juicy. It's got like these amazing big kind of set pieces and huge moments, but also... I don't know. I guess it fills those moments with genuinely interesting characters. It's not just like, well, this big thing happened. It's like, oh, this big thing happened, and I really like everyone that it happened to.
Is it about gods?
It is about gods, yes. So the general premise is in the land of Vergio, which is a Norse-inspired fantasy realm, unlike most... fantasies that are more English inspired. So instead of kings and queens, it's jarls and bands of Viking mercenaries.
Uh-huh.
And in this world, a mere 200 years ago, or around that, the gods were essentially killed or vanquished, either by each other or by each other and the humans. So it really hasn't been that long since the gods of this world walked among them. And because of that, there are people in the world that are called tainted, which essentially means they have the blood of the gods still in them. And they're very kind of, you know, old school gods. You know, none of this new school lovey-dovey. These are old school, you know, the god of a god that's a dragon and wants to kill everything, a god that's like a wolf and wants to hunt everything, those types of old school gods.
Yeah, they were punishing some of those.
Oh yeah, they weren't particularly nice, you know. I think God is a loving entity. Is only something that's existed in the public consciousness for the kind of last little bit. It was very much used to be more about wrath, which this book definitely covers. So there's these tainted people that have the blood of the gods in them. And then there is the regular people of Vergio who do not have the blood of the gods. And our book covers a little bit of a mix of the two. So the first book is shown in three main points of view. Elvar of the Battle Grim, Orca, who wants to get her child back, and Varg, who's the newest member of the Bloodsworn, which is these band of mercenary groups. And then the second book starts to introduce some points of view from antagonist characters. So the first book kind of really centers you with these three protagonists and gets you to really know them. You start to understand the world. And then by the second book, they're like, all right, now we're going to show you what the bad guys are up to. And then you see the points of view from the bad guy characters, which at first I wasn't like super pumped about. I usually prefer for the bad guys, you know, to be interesting, but
yeah,
I don't necessarily need like a whole half of the book dedicated to them. But I found it really well done in this. There's kind of multiple bad guys doing different things in different places against different people. They're not kind of one unified force. And there's quite an interesting mix of like genuinely quite evil people. And then you've also just got the like I don't really want to do this, but I kind of have no choice, and I'm just trying to save my own skin. And saving my own skin has led me to do quite a lot of bad things, because I just don't really care as long as I get mine.
Right.
Which is quite an interesting character to have as a reader, because on the one hand, you're like, yeah, I get it. You know, a lot of this stuff, you don't have much saying. And on the other hand, you're like, oh, you're such just an arrogant prick, and I want to read what's going to happen to know when eventually you're going to, have something bad happen to you, because it's very frustrating seeing how full of yourself you are. So it's got a really good good range of characters there. I will also say, for a fantasy book, that as we talked about last time with The Wheel of Time, I've been reading a decent amount of fantasy, and this has some of the best representation of like female characters that I've seen, where it's not so much like she's a woman and she's a warrior. That's crazy, guys. Can you imagine? Instead, it's just like, she's a woman and a warrior, and there is never a comment made about that being strange. It just is completely normal and totally a part of the story. Being a woman in no way hinders or helps them being a warrior. It's just like, is a fact about them, which is good. And it also has characters that are genuinely funny. I feel like a lot of books try to put characters in as comic relief, and the comic relief is kind of like, pretty mid, especially from like fantasy books, where it'll be like some weird jester character or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say like a lot of fantasy relies on the whole like jester concept. There's just like a like butt of the joke, yeah. Basically.
Exactly. It doesn't often have characters that are just, you know, like funny people that you and I know, where they're just naturally a funny person. Mm-hmm. It's not like that's their entire personality. It's just that they happen to be quite humorous. And there's a lot of characters in this across a lot of the different groups that are just genuinely quite funny people, which makes them feel a lot more real as well, when they're like, you know, they're a battle-hardened warrior, but also they will, like, crack a joke around the fireplace. It's like, it adds lots of layers to these characters that I feel like some fantasy can be a little bit one-note, especially from the background characters. It's usually like, this background character's a warrior, this background character's a jester. This is like, even the background characters feel multi-dimensional, so it makes you very interested in all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, I say it sounds like kind of breaks a few of the cliches of fantasy.
Well, that was the other thing that I have. I do actually write things down for this sometimes. That was the other thing that I had written down. I know, I'm very professional. Is that it kind of has a good mix of like fulfilling the fantasy kind of tropes that you want from a fantasy book, you know, like it's got these big set pieces and these interesting moment with like gods and stuff. But I think it does a really good mix between, it doesn't try to do the classic, like, this is modern fantasy, so we're going to show you these things, but then we're going to subvert it and you're not really going to get to see it. And it's like, well, I'm reading a fantasy book. I want to see the big set piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it has that, and the twists come in other ways so that it still feels like new and interesting. It doesn't feel like you can guess what's going to go on, but it still fulfills that like classic niche of like, okay, cool, I've seen the big, you know, the big creature, I've seen the big battle, and then the way that it twists it and subverts it is in a way that you still feel like you're getting what you want from a fantasy, but with enough difference that you're like, this is very much new and interesting.
Wow, I have to say, once again, Josh, you've really sold us on this book.
I try my best, you know? I try my best.
Would you say fantasy's like your favorite genre?
Well, it just seems to be what I'm reading a lot of at the moment.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of them have really caught my fancy. I'd probably say it's up there. I'd probably say that and sci-fi. I just find a lot of the stories very interesting. I do want to read, you know, outside of that genre, but I will say a lot of some books sometimes I'm just like, God, this is depressing, isn't it?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. A lot of sad things have happened in the world.
Yeah, and like that's great. And sometimes I'm in the mood, but sometimes I'm like, do I want like 400 pages of someone just being quite depressed in like a New York apartment? And it's kind of hard to put myself through that from time to time. And I'm like, I'd rather see someone depressed, but also getting like a sword fight or something. You know, then it's like there's something else going on as well.
And to be honest, that's fair enough. I think real life is sad enough. Let's live in fantasy for a while, you know?
Maybe let's have some more sword fights, you know? I think people should just people should start carrying around swords and just see what happens.
What, honestly, it would probably help with, like, upper arm strength as well.
I'd say so. I mean, some of these things look heavy, you know?
Yeah.
Like 3 feet of cast iron, you know?
Like, gosh, that cannot be light.
No, there's no way. But, you know, they figure it out.
Well, Josh, I have to say, thank you so much for joining the show once again.
That's all right. I look forward to coming in the studio.
I was going to say, hopefully next time you can be sitting here right next to me.
I know. I'm picturing it, and it's so beautiful.
Oh, stop. Oh, flirting with me on air. That's so naughty.
I know. I'm sorry. We'll keep that for off air next time.
And quickly, because I really should ask, if people want to visit Scorpio Books, where can they find you guys?
They can find us. Our technical address is 120 Hereford Street, but what might be more helpful is we're inside the BNZ Centre. So if you're walking down Cashel Street, you see the big BNZ Centre sign, just hop in there. We're right next to the escape room, right opposite the sushi place, and our children's bookstore, if you're looking for any children's book needs, is just directly across from us in the BNZ Centre. So everything you could need is right there.
Well, Josh, have a wonderful, wonderful day.
I will certainly try my best. You too, Liam.